Welcome to Cracking the Vault, where we listen to some gleaming moments from Centrum's musical archives. My name is Peter McCracken, and today we'll be listening to a radio show that Centrum produced in 1992. That year, after the Fiddletunes Festival, we took Clyde Davenport, Joan O'Dell Thompson, John D. Holman, and Los Campesinos de Michoacán, our big circus tent, stage, lights, and a sound system. And we produced shows in small towns in Washington and Oregon, places that had no performance venue. This radio show attempted to document and showcase these remarkable players at that time. And narration is courtesy of our friend Barry Schultz.
You're listening to Clyde Davenport, recipient of the 1992 National Heritage Fellowship. For the past 17 years, Centrum's Festival of American Fiddle Tunes has been a gathering place for some of North America's finest traditional musicians. These tradition bearers, representing many cultures throughout North America, are masters of the styles that their communities have created and sustained. The Fiddle Tunes Festival, where younger players come for a week of study with these regional stylists, has hosted such master fiddlers as Cajun Dewey Balfa, North Carolinian Tommy Jarrow, Cape Bretoner Joe Cormier, the Giachi fiddlers from the Tohono O'odham people in Arizona, and Rufus Ginchard from Newfoundland. Focus of the festival is the folk violin. Many other music and dance traditions have been represented, including New York tap dancer Sandman Sims, mountain singer Jeanette Carter, two-finger banjo picker Will Keys, Cajun accordionist Mark Savoie, and Michoacan harp player Salvador Baldovinos with his band Los Campesinos de Michoacán.
Sierra Morena viene bajando San Miguel de la, unos ojitos negros de contrabando y esa es la verdad. De la Sierra Morena viene bajando San Miguel de la, unos ojitos negros de contrabando y esa es la verdad.
San Miguel de la, San Miguel de la.
De la Sierra Morena viene bajando San Miguel de la,
San Miguel de la, San Miguel de la.
Un payoquito negro de contrabando. Una niña no baile se le miraba a San Miguel de la. Que le arrastraba y es de la verdad. Una niña en un baile se le miraba a San Miguel de la. Un vestido de seda que le arrastraba y es de la verdad.
San Miguel de la, San Miguel de la.
Una niña en un baile se le miraba a San Miguel de la.
San Miguel de la, San Miguel de la.
Un vestido de seda que le arrastraba y es de la verdad.
In 1992, Centrum selected four of the artists from the festival and presented the Fiddle Tunes Tour, traveling to six small communities in Washington and Oregon with stage, light, and sound crew, and a 100-foot circus tent. Artists on the tour included Kentucky fiddler Clyde Davenport, the African-American banjo fiddle duo of Joe and Odell Thompson, Piedmont blues guitarist and buck dancer John D. Holman, and the harp and fiddle band Los Campesinos de Michoacán.
Samba que le da, samba que le da. Una escalera grande y otra chiquita y esta es la verdad.
Comprehending the immense breadth of Mexican folk music styles would require a full lifetime of study. Los Campesinos de Michoacán are masters of many of these styles, from the Veracruz harp bands and the Huastecos in the east to the music of Jalisco and Colima in the west. But the music they love the most is from their home state of Michoacán.
Que no me engañas por eso, te ando buscando, vengo de tierra lejana, mamá. Échale, Luis. Por ti preguntando, me dieron razón y andaba por la tierra michoacana. Te vieron cuando pasaba por sol. Mora y Nueva Italia.
Amigo de Michoacán y pueblos que voy pasando.
Los Campesinos are a conjunto de arpa, a band with a large harp, a guitar, a small rhythm instrument called a vihuela, and two fiddles usually played in harmony. This instrumentation, combined with their duet-style singing, creates a powerful and exhilarating sound. The band members grew up in the state of Michoacán in central Mexico, a beautiful land with 8,000-foot mountains in the east that slowly drop westward to the Pacific Ocean. Michoacán's strong agricultural tradition has helped to make the state a leading supplier of field workers to many western United States communities, including eastern Washington, where the band has lived since the mid-1980s. Salvador Baldovinos, founder and leader of the band, plays the harp by plucking the melody with his right hand and the bass strings with his left, echoing the highly syncopated bass lines played by the guitarrón in mariachi music. He was born and raised in Cualcomán in southwest Michoacán. His father taught him how to plant crops and work in the fields, and eventually he taught himself to read, write, and to play music. When Salvador was a small boy, his father managed to buy him a guitar, and he began to play a little and sing songs with his mother. He heard many harp bands when he was growing up, and a preference for the traditional instrumentation of these groups stayed with him. Several traditions went into the molding of this music. In the 16th century, Spaniards brought guitars, lutes, and harps to Mexico. Although the natives did not make use of string instruments before that time, they probably contributed to the vocal styles. The string band music developed from a genteel tradition, a music picked up by poor people from the wealthy, who hired trained musicians to play at dances and parties. Mexican musical culture is quite different from that in the United States. Patrons in cantinas and restaurants will often request and gladly pay $10 for each individual song. Since a band's livelihood depends upon filling these requests, they are necessarily required to have an enormous repertoire of nearly every popular Mexican style of music. This is just one reason why Los Campesinos play rancheras, corridos, huapangos, cumbias, and boleros, as well as the older sones and the very old valonas. Salvador estimates that his band can perform about 1,200 songs, like this piece from the state of Guerrero.
Thank you.
At dances or in cantinas during a song, it is not unusual for someone in the audience to approach the harp player, crouch down, and with his two hands beat out a very intricate rhythm on the box of the harp. Los Campesinos have an excellent such tamborero in Juan Ontiveros. Members of the band moved to Yakima, Washington in the mid-80s to join a large permanent Mexican population. The community boasts a Spanish-language newspaper and radio station, and the finest tortilla factory north of Los Angeles. The language, the food, and the music are just a small part of the tremendous cultural contribution our friends to the South have made to Washington State.
Oye, María. Ya me despido, oye María, ya me despido, cantando de la pereta, mi vida, no me eches en el olvido, cantando de la pereta, mi vida, no me eches en el olvido.
You talk about a fiddler. I was one of them.
Clyde Davenport's early instincts for fiddling and fiddle making have developed into superior ability in both respects. From his handcrafted fiddles, Clyde can draw archaic 19th century fiddle tunes, slippery blues, or hot breakdowns. He values clear noting and smooth bowing, and these qualities are always present in his fiddling. before it was 9 years old, he made a two-string fiddle from a white oak board and fashioned a bow from a dogwood stick and a handful of hair pulled from a mule's tail, rosined with pine sap. Clyde never learned to play the fiddle. He just picked it up and immediately started playing.
I never did try to learn nothing in my life. Never did. Nobody ever showed me anything. It's just a gift. I could just pick up anything and have strings on it. And I didn't have to fool with it. I just played it. Now that don't sound right to you, but it's true. It's just in me.
Clyde was born in 1921 in Wayne County, Kentucky, near the Tennessee state line on the Cumberland Plateau. The region stands up just as flat as can be, about 2,000 feet in elevation, dramatically lined with miles and miles of sheer sandstone bluffs. Clyde was raised right under the lip of the plateau in a place called the Blue Hole Holler. In his time, Clyde has served in the Army, worked in factories, farmed, run a truck stop in Tennessee, and operated an instrument building and repair shop in Monticello, Kentucky, where he is presently living. You'll hear many different styles of fiddling in the southern mountains, and Clyde's is one of the smoothest. Clyde plays a good number of the regional tunes that are popular in his area. He learned many of these pieces from a Monticello fiddler named Leonard Rutherford, whose playing was a dominant influence in the region. Leonard's fiddling was very smooth, full of bluesy slides and slurs, with a marked absence of the choppy shuffling often associated with mountain fiddling. Clyde is equally versatile as a banjo player and can choose from claw hammer and two or three finger traditional styles. At the age of 11, 2 years after he made his first fiddle, he took an iron band off a small wagon wheel, trimmed out a hoop, tacked on a 10-cent groundhog hide, and carved out a hickory neck, and he had his first banjo.
Oh, the travel of my mean, yes, my darkening he be.
Perhaps the most valuable pieces in Clyde's repertoire are the six dozen or so solo fiddle tunes, played in an archaic style characterized by cross tunings, elaborate bowing, and eccentric melody lines. These droning, exotic, richly flavored tunes were not to be danced to or accompanied by other instruments, but just made interesting listening.
I think I'll play you Rattling Down the Acres. Okay.
His father Will speaking of a big-shouldered, aged fiddler who occasionally visited their small farmstead tucked away in the Blue Hole Holler near Mount Pisgah. The elder musician, Will Phipps, was born in Fentress County in 1829. Phipps would hook the fiddle inside his shirt collar to play difficult, droning, unaccompanied tunes. Clyde learned many of these pieces from his father, some of which appear to survive only in the versions Clyde plays. Phipps died in 1914 and was buried with his fiddle in his coffin. Clyde may well have the largest repertoire of solo fiddle tunes among any living Southern mountain fiddler. This fact, along with the excellence of his technical skills, places Clyde Davenport among the most important living traditional musicians.
People to spur back and get in the history of me and then play. Now I'm the only one left to play. The older ones are all gone, you see, and I'm going to soon be, looks like. That'll be the last old Davenport you probably will ever hear play the fiddle. I'm the last one left.
The distinctive flavor of Southern old-time music is the result of many musical traditions that have blended over a long period of time. Most people in the Southern Mountains are descended from immigrants that came from England, Ireland, Germany, and Scotland. Today, the traditional music of Western Europe sounds strikingly different from old-time music in the South. One significant reason for this difference is that those fiddlers from the southern mountains were surrounded by an enormous population of another kind of people, Africans. African Americans brought some new ideas to the fiddling tradition, rhythmic and melodic approaches that were exciting enough to immediately affect the way that Southern Mountain fiddlers thought about their music. Scores of white musicians who recorded in the 20s credit their learning to a black fiddler. The banjo is an African instrument, an African word. If you go to Mali or Senegal or Gambia today, you'll see instruments just like the banjo, with a short drone string on top and a skin head. Today, there is probably only one active fiddle and banjo team of African-American extraction in the United States, Joe and Odell Thompson. Joe and Odell Thompson are first cousins who make their homes north of Mebane, North Carolina, just one county away from where their grandfather had been enslaved on the Walter Thompson plantation. They are part of the third generation of music-making Thompsons to have lived in this section of the rolling Piedmont since the family took its surname at the end of the Civil War. Odell, born in 1911, and Joe, born in 1918, were taught from an early age how to raise good crops of tobacco, cotton, corn, and wheat. They also grew up in homes where the ability to make music was valued, and fiddling and banjo playing were heard on nights and weekends after farm work was completed. Joe Thompson got his first fiddle when he was 7 years old.
My uncle gave me a fiddle. Had two basses on it. And my brother was playing the banjo above me. He said, well, you ain't no better off. You ain't got no string. So what you gonna do? I said, I'm gonna ask my daddy for some money. But see, back down them days, that money was money. They ain't gonna do that. So then I went on, me and him went to the tractor shed. Got me a pair of plies, back to the house. Pulled two strands out that screen door. I put them on there. And by tomorrow, this time I was playing this tune right here. That's Hook and Line.
Their fathers, Walter and John Arch Thompson, were popular local musicians who played regularly at both black and white dances. As soon as their sons took up instruments, they were included in the music making. Many a Saturday night would find them knee to knee in a doorway between two rooms that had been cleared of furniture and that were filled with couples dancing 4 and 8 hand sets.
Red Brigade, Red Brigade, Red Brigade, all the way left, all the way left, all the way left, right by right, right by right, right by right, and stand square, and come single, come single, come single, come single.
rolling along. 16 times, yeah. Plumbing is your partner when you get home.
Once in a while, I got a chance to call. I'm going to try to give you a little bit of an invitation on how we did. I want to call an 8 handset. My daddy called 16, but I never would try that. And I'm going to try to give you an idea how it was when we was calling sets and frolicking a little bit around home. Way back in the 29 and 30s.
Hands up four, all the way left, all the way left. All the way left, right back right, stand square, and stand square, come to single, promenade your partner when you get home.
Joe and Odell assert today, 60 years later, that their playing and singing still sounds very much like that of John Arch and Walter. Very likely, it is similar to the music that their grandfathers played on the plantation. It's about as close as we can get to imagining or hearing the sounds of the music in the black community at that time. The music that gave a new quality and a new identity to Southern mountain music and Southern music as a whole.
Lord, I'm sitting on the river. Wake all the summer, rest all the fall. You gotta take Christmas in your overall. Now she's gone.
In the 1920s, Odell's music took a different direction. He began to concentrate on the guitar, learning to fingerpick the blues that were enjoying great popularity in North Carolina's black communities at the time.
Summer, hey, for the fall, take all the Christmas in overall.
See, now she's gone, and I don't worry. Lord, I'm sitting on top of the world.
Odell was a blues man for many years. Although he would still attend square dances and bass along on his guitar to back up the fiddlers. When the old time players took a break, Odell would fingerpick some blues for dancers who wanted to do a two-step, buck and wing, or a slow drag. Odell quit the banjo for nearly 50 years. In the early 70s, he took it up once again and resumed playing the music that he had learned as a youth.
Anything, he's sitting on top of the world. If you sitting on top of the world, you don't need nothing else but your feet swinging down.
As a child, Joe attended the primitive Baptist church that his parents belonged to, and he still sings a few religious songs that he learned at that time.
Till I got all in my vessel, in my lap, trembling, burning, I want to be ready when the breath comes. Well, I got all in my lap, trembling, burning, I want to be ready when the breath comes. I got all in my vessel, in my lap, trembling, burning, I want to be ready when the breath comes. You know the first time I heard that tune? Over by those in the field, plying corn, chopping, weeding, and doing this. Now, me and my mama went to the garden. She was gathering snap beans and arch potatoes early that morning to fix for dinner. And she was singing that song. And I was 4 or 5 years old. And she was singing it so pretty and sometime about to cry, just done got happy, you know, spiritually, feelings, you know. You old enough to know about it. And this is what she was at. She was singing this at a high rate of good feelings. You know what I'm trying to say. And I could see it, but I didn't know what was wrong with mama, but I didn't say nothing. But I know it was good, but I wasn't big enough to know what was going on. And that's when I heard it. I must have been 4 or 5 years old. I'm 73 now, you know how long that's been.
John D. Holman has many things in common with Joe and Odell Thompson. He grew up in the same county in the rolling Piedmont of North Carolina. He was raised on a farm and had older relatives who played the fiddle and banjo. But John D. was born a bit later than the Thompsons, born into a rage, a fever that came on the black community, not only in the Piedmont, but throughout the South, the music they called the blues.
Hey, mama, hey, girl, don't you hear me calling you? You're so sweet, so sweet, my little woman. Woman I love, she gone back home. I hate to see my sweet sugar go home. You're so sweet, so sweet, my love. I love that woman, love her to a bone. I had to see my sweet sugar go home. You're so sweet, so sweet, my little woman.
At some time in the 1830s, the banjo began passing into the hands of white minstrels who blacked their faces with burnt cork and staged shows that supposedly depicted plantation life. The minstrel show became the most popular form of theater in America, and the banjo was the main prop. For many black people, the banjo became a symbol of the stereotyping and the racism that they had to endure. This fact, along with the undeniable power of the new blues music, led many blacks to jettison the banjo, and by the 20s, it had been replaced by the guitar as the instrument of choice in many southern black communities. The blues, that potent music, had captured the heart and soul of African Americans living in the South. John Dee grew up listening to the melodic Piedmont or East Coast style of blues that owes much to black string band music. He learned a few chords from an uncle and a cousin, but he mostly taught himself how to play, employing a combination of personal experimenting and close listening to both local guitarists and recordings of Blind Boy Fuller, Blind Lemon Jefferson, and Lightnin' Hopkins.
I believe I go myself. Well, I ain't gonna write. I believe I go myself. I'm afraid a letter might be too short, and a telegram it may get there.
Yeah. The correct way to learn. Not be taught, because taught anything, some of it you can forget it. But if you learn yourself, you don't ever forget this. So let's stay with it.
He began to play the acoustic guitar at the age of 14 and soon began entertaining at community work parties that he calls workins.
Yes, my baby girl, an angel that I call my foam machine. I say, my baby girl, an angel, I call her my love foam machine. Yes, if your power don't stop charging, mama, you got to be burning very bad gasoline.
When I was a kid coming up,
I'm gonna step on my stove.
They had these wood chopping and
my motor turn
cone shucking. And after they got the cone shuck, or either
yes,
after they got
I'm
the wood chop,
baby,
you know, and everything. They was party after that.
Very slow.
A big gathering would get together, you know, shuck each other's corn and
yes,
chop each other's wood. Just help right around the neighborhood there. And so
John,
they get out there and act up and carry on and drinking and want to find out which one can beat the other, tap dancing and dancing, whatever. So in my day, that's what they was doing then.
Dancing was a normal part of any house party, especially the informal competitive solo buck dancing in which dancers would vie for the crowd's attention and applause. John D. found that he could always hold his own at these gatherings.
And see if my baby.
Finally, I kind of noticed the feet work and what he was doing. I didn't have anyone to teach me. I just copy and just slipped up and caught some of what he was doing and put it together, put my little tap dancing, bucket dancing together, so.
Houndbone, where you been? Round the world and going back again. Jaybird lit in the grocery store, lit on the counter and fell on the floor. Houndbone, that is.
Dancers would gather in a circle and set up infectious rhythms by patting on their arms, chest, and thighs, while each dancer took a turn in the middle of the circle, trying to outdo the last.
And three round mice, sitting on the tombstone shooting dice. The horse slipped, fell on the flea. Flea said, by God, his horse on me.
Yeah, they had this old thing they called their the ham bone. You beat that on the thick part of your leg and your chest. And so we would dance, barge, you know what I mean, but this body slapping like I do, it wasn't back there then. I didn't see no one do it. But I just rearranged myself so it's much quicker to get the same slap off your body.
Bought a T-Mall's fold, pistol in the rain, two high wheels, one front spring. Found a good seat, made a plank, all fall to find, just a little hard to crank. When it started, don't let it toot, done nothing but look in the back at you. If you want to go to heaven when you're D.I.E., you got to put on your collar and T.I.E. If you want to get the best of N.U.T., you got to get on the floor and shake the D.U.T. Mama wants to look at sis, staying in the backyard doing like this. That ain't all she gonna do. She gonna fix a little mud and stew. Houndbone, where you been? Round the world and going back again. Houndbone, ain't you shame? Beating your wife with a walking cane. Hall guys, duck your bows. Chicken knees, rabbit toes, and possum toss, and things like that.
I'm gonna dig myself a hole, move my baby down in the ground. I'm gonna dig myself a hole, move my baby down in the ground. No, when I come out, there will be no walls around. Well, I got my questionnaire, my class card too. My baby began to wonder what in the world am I to do. I'm gonna dig myself a hole, move my baby down in the ground. No, when I come out, there will be no walls around. Yeah.
John D. belongs to a transitional group of blues players, those who learned acoustic blues in the rural South and later electrified their music for urban audiences. The amplified instrument had the basic advantage of being louder, and the instrument was further popularized by recordings of Lonnie Johnson and Charlie Christian.
My next guitar, I think I got it about somewhere in the late 40s, early 50s, right back then when I got my first electric guitar. Back when I first started, I started off with an acoustic guitar. Well, that's when we were small, you know what I mean, starting off, maybe you had 7-8 people to fit in the house. They would sit around, you know, and listen to guitar music. Some would get up, you know, kind of dance a little bit. And after the music got so good, and it come this likeness, so it come this getting this huge of people. So we had to take it on the outside.
Well, I got my questionnaire, my class card too. My baby getting to worry now what the world I'm gonna do. I'm gonna dig myself a hole, move my baby down in the ground. You know when I come out, there will be no ones around. Dig it, boy, dig it.
As Bess Hawes has noted, John D. Holman exemplifies the particular quality that has made the Piedmont tradition so exceptional among all black musical traditions. The joining of hands, feet, voices, and instruments in a supportive, complex interaction of melodic rhythm and rhythmic melody. The remarkable artistry of John D. Holman is a coherent and masterful presentation of these very special arts of the Piedmont.
I know when I come out, there will be no walls around. I said my mama told me, Papa said and cried, you're too young a man, John, to have that woman you got. But I'm going to dig myself a hole, move my baby down in the ground. You know when I come out, there will be no ones around.
One night during the tour, John D. and Clyde Davenport sat down together and scratched out a little tune they called the Bedbug Blues. The Fiddle Tunes tour and this radio show were made possible with the support and financial assistance of U.S. Bank and especially the Folk Arts Division of the National Endowment for the Arts. Special thanks to Bobby Fulcher, Wayne Martin, and Joe Wilson. I'm Barry Schultz. The tour and this show were produced by Centrum, an arts and education organization located on the Olympic Peninsula in Port Townsend, Washington.